Pancho ducked through the hatch and went straight to the juice dispenser. "How's it going?" Dan asked, casually. "All systems working just fine," she said, filling a mug and coming to the table to sit next to Dan. "Must be okay if you feel good enough to leave the bridge. Mandy's up there keeping an eye on everything. The bird will actually fly on her own. We don't need to be on the bridge every minute of the day." "Any incoming calls?" Dan asked. She shrugged. "Only about 6 or 7 million. Everybody from Doug Stavanger to the Global News Network wants to talk to you." "Global News?" Dan's ears perked up. "Lots of news media. They all want to interview you." Dan stroked his chin thoughtfully. "Might not be a bad idea. If we're going to do an interview, it'll have to be before we get so far away the time lag makes it impossible to have a real-time conversation." "Better do it quick, then," Pancho said. "Once we goose this bird to 1/3 G, we'll really be sprinting fast." Dan nodded his agreement. Pointing to the phone console built into the bulkhead, he asked, "Can you patch me through?"
"Easy."
"Okay. Let me talk to La Guaira." The head of Astro's corporate public relations staff was a sweet-faced brunette who was older and much tougher than she looked. Dan asked her if she could arrange a news conference with the world's major news networks. "It has to be today," he pressed. "We're zipping out so fast that by tomorrow we won't be able to talk back and forth without a 4 or 5 minute lag." "Understood," said the PR woman. "Can you do it?" She arched a carefully drawn brow. "Arrange a major news conference with the man who's hijacked his own super-duper spaceship to go out past Mars and start mining the asteroids? Just get off the line, boss, and let me get to work." Dan laughed and obliged. He was glad that he had decided to keep his public relations team intact, despite the layoffs in other corporate departments. "Fire the accountants and the lawyers," he reminded himself. "Get rid of the paper shufflers and bean counters, but keep the people who polish your public image. They're the last to go. Except for the people who do the real work, the engineers and scientists." Pancho watched him as she sipped at her juice. When Dan ended his call to La Guaira, she asked, "So, now what happens?"
"Now we wait while my PR people do their jobs."
"Uh-huh. How long do you think it'll take?"
"We'll know in an hour or so," Dan said. "If it takes longer than that, it's not going to go down."
Pancho nodded. "I could hear it. The lag between you and her is already longer than the usual Earth-Moon delay." Dan got to his feet and went to the coffee dispenser. He really wanted a pleasant glass of Amontillado, but there was no alcohol on the ship. Remembering the story the two women had told him about the goons Humphreys had sent after Amanda, Dan asked, "Whatever happened to your snake?"
"Ellie?"
"Is that the snake's name?"
"Yep."
"So what did you do with her?" Pancho reached down to her ankle and came up with the glittering blue crate. Dan flinched back.
"You brought that thing aboard?"
Shrugging, Pancho said, "I was gonna leave it with Pistol Pete. He's the guy who owns the Pelican Bar. But with those goons and all, I didn't have the time."
"We've got a poisonous snake on the ship."
"Relax, boss," Pancho said easily. "I've got 4 mice in my travel bag. That's enough to keep Ellie fat and happy for more than a month." Dan stared at the snake. Its beady eyes stared back at him. He started to shake his head.
"I don't want that thing on this ship."
"Ellie won't be a problem," Pancho insisted. "I'll keep her in a nice, cool spot. She'll sleep most of the time." Then, with a smirk, she added, "And digest."
"If something should happen..."
Pancho's face went deadly serious. She seemed to Dan to be struggling with herself. He suggested, "Maybe we could freeze the snake for the duration of the flight. Thaw out when we get back to Selene."
"She's not poisonous," Pancho blurted.
"What? I don't like to admit it, but Ellie's not really poisonous. I just tell people that to keep them respectful. You think Selene's safety board would let a poisonous critter into the city?"
"But you said..."
Looking almost apologetic, Pancho said,
Oh, you can't believe everything I say, boss. A gal's got to protect herself, doesn't she? But what about that guy she bit?
Ellie was gin-engineered. They modified her toxin so she produces a tranquilizer, not a lethal poison. Dan gave her a hard look.
Can I believe anything she says? He wondered. The science guys wanted to use Ellie to track animals in the wild that they wanted to study. It never worked.
And you got the snake for a pet.
A bodyguard, Pancho corrected.
What about the anti-serum?
She laughed.
Saline solution. Just a placebo. The guy would have woke up whether they used it or not.
Dan broke into a chuckle, too.
Pancho, you're something of a con artist.
I suppose, she admitted easily.
Amanda's voice came through on the intercom. I've got an incoming call from La Guaira.
I'll take it here, Dan said. It took several frenzied hours, but Dan's PR director finally set up an interactive news conference with reporters from virtually every major media network on Earth, plus Cellini's own news director, Edith Elgin, who happened to be Mrs. Douglas Stavanger when she wasn't on the air. Dan sat back in the little plastic chair in Star Power's wardroom and smiled into the camera of the phone console set into the bulkhead. His PR director acted as moderator, choosing which reporter was allowed to ask a question and a backup. Dan found that the time lag from the ship to Earth worked in his favor. It gave him time to think before the next question arrived.
It's always smart to think before you talk, he told himself. Engage brain before putting mouth in gear.
The interview. Cable news. Why did you hijack your own ship?
How can you call it a hijacking if it's my own ship? And it's only partially mine, by the way. Star Power One is owned by Star Power Limited, which in turn is owned by three organizations. Humphreys Space Systems, Astro Manufacturing, and the people of Cellini. As far as I know, neither Humphreys nor Cellini is complaining, so I don't see this as a hijacking.
But the International Astronautical Authority says you have no right to be aboard Star Power One.
Bureaucratic bullshit. There's no reason why a human crew can't ride in this vessel. The IAA is just trying to strangle us in red tape.
BBC here. Why do you think the IAA refused to give permission for a human crew to fly in your vessel?
I'll be double-dipped in hot chocolate fudge if I know. Ask them.
Surely you have some opinion on the matter?
Paper shufflers tend to be conservative souls. There's always a risk in allowing somebody to do something new, and bureaucrats hate risk-taking. Much safer for them to say no. You need more testing, or another round of approvals. Buck the responsibility upstairs and don't stick your own neck out. If the IAA had been running America's expansion westward back in the 19th century, they'd still be trying to decide whether to build Chicago or St. Louis.
Nippon News Agency, what do you hope to achieve by this flight?
A substantive question for a change. We intend to stake out a claim to one or more asteroids. Our goal is to open up the vast resources of the asteroid belt for the human race.
Have you determined which asteroids you will investigate?
Yes, but I'm not at liberty to reveal which they are. I don't want anyone or anything to cloud our claim.
What do you mean by that? What are you afraid of? Who would make a rival claim?
Whoa, hey, one at a time. Basically, I fear that if I announce that we're aiming for a certain asteroid, the IAA will find a reason to declare it off-limits to development, just as they've declared the near-Earth asteroids and the moons of Mars closed to development.
Network Iberia, but the NEAs have been closed to development because there is the chance that their orbits could be perturbed and they would crash into the Earth. Isn't that so?
That's the IAA's excuse for keeping the NEAs off limits, right. Bureaucrats can always find